Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, guys. I am not Chuck, and I'm not Julie, especially not Julie. Some of you, many of you will be familiar with me. I was a regular caller to many of KNUS's shows back in the past, and I've sat in for Chuck and Julie on two previous occasions, and they decided they wanted to take the week off, or they broadcast Monday, and they asked me to do it today. So we're going to talk about as many things as I can squeeze in 55 minutes. I got a list here pretty good, but before I get into COVID and protocols and pronouns, and redlining and lending, the Dunning-Kruger effect. Before I do any of that, I want to talk to you a little bit about what Thanksgiving is like. For me, I married into a Nebraska farm family. They live out here in western Nebraska, closest neighbors 2 miles away. It's flat. I'm not fond of this kind of geography because I grew up in the South with lots of trees and lots of hills. But anyway, one of the things that's different about a Southern guy like me and a Midwestern German farm family is food. They eat to live. And I grew up in a family where we lived to eat. So we put a lot of time and preparation and, you know, garlic and onion and all kinds of spices, lots of spicy food. I mean, just basically a Southern version of an Italian family. And with lots of very boisterous conversation at the table. I remember growing up at my granny and papa's house in Mississippi, and, you know, it was just a lot of dry humor, but the food was just phenomenal. And now I married into a family where it's not so phenomenal. They overcook everything. I mean, everything. How do you overcook a ham? But they do. Tell you a quick story. So 37 years ago, this weekend was my first trip out here. It was 1984. I'd met my wife in Harvey Park in Denver on July 1st, 1984, at a church picnic for young singles. And we dated, and it got serious enough. She thought she'd bring me home, introduce me to the folks. I got to go pheasant hunting for the very first time, something I love to do now. And so it was Thanksgiving Day. You know, we get up. I woke up that morning to the sound of a jet engine outside my basement bedroom that I was sleeping in, the guest room. It literally sounded like a jet was landing or taking off just outside the door of my guest room. It was one of those built-in whole house vacuum cleaners. Good Lord, it was loud. Anyway, that was my initial, you know, waking up. And then we, Brenda, you want to turn your camera off probably, or put a piece of tape over it. But anyway, so we have lunch, and they eat lunch right at noon, right at noon. If you're not there at noon, you don't get lunch. So we sat down, and they have a big family. She's got four siblings. There's five total. There's 16 grandkids. There's, I don't know, untold number of great-grandkids now. And I love the family. They're fun to be around. Our sense of humor is a little different. Let's just say I'm more like Jerry Seinfeld, and they're more like Bob Hope. That'll give you an idea. So I don't really fit in. But anyway, we sit down, long table, and a few of the oldest grandchildren who are now in their 40s were young children. So, you know, there's probably 25 people there, counting some cousins and uncles. And there's lots of turkey and ham and mashed potatoes and bread dressing. It was my first time not to have cornbread dressing in a holiday, so it was tragic. It was traumatic, to say the least. And right in front of me, I'm seated at the head of the table. Dad, my father-in-law, now future father-in-law at the time, he was seated at the head of the table. My mother-in-law is across from me, and I'm sitting to the right of my future father-in-law. And so they served me every dish first, and then it went counterclockwise around the table. Well, when it came to me, the gravy, they had a gravy boat about the size of my hand. Now, I'm from the South, and I looked at that, and I thought, well, gosh, there's probably a pot of gravy on the stove in the kitchen. That can't be all the gravy. So I just took the gravy boat and probably put 3/4 of the contents of that gravy boat on my dressing and the very dry turkey, overcooked. And my mother-in-law, I thought she was going to jump out of her skin. It was, at the time, it was not hilarious because she scared me to death, but she screamed, "What are you doing? That's all the gravy we have." And I thought to myself, well, what kind of idiot only has enough, you know, 5 tablespoons of gravy for 23 people? And then I watched the way the other people serve gravy, and it was just a little dollop. It was like taking cranberry sauce just for color. Now, thankfully, my mother-in-law did start to make gravy in greater quantities when she knew I was going to be around. But that was my introduction to the family. Also, one of my brother-in-laws, one of Mary's sister's husbands, he was, let's just say, a very arrogant German guy who thought he was the best at everything. And I was anxious to go shoot pheasants because I had grown up shooting rabbits and squirrels and quail in the South, but I'd never hunted pheasants. But I had remembered on Sunday afternoons when I was a kid growing up in the wintertime when there were no sports on, Kurt Gowdy, the guy from Wyoming, would come on TV with something called the American Sportsman. And he would take people out like Joe Namath or Johnny Unitas or other famous football or basketball or baseball players. He'd take them out and take them hunting. They'd go big game hunting or they'd go pheasant hunting. And I remember watching them pheasant hunt and thinking, those things are like flying aircraft carriers. That's going to be easy to hit compared to a quail that flies all over the place, or a dove that's not even the size of your hand, or a rabbit that's running. You know, I could hit all those things. So my brother-in-law on Friday after Thanksgiving, so 37 years ago today, he says, Mark, I'll take you out pheasant hunting. So we go out and get in the farm truck. And he tells me, now, very condescendingly, he says, now, look, you know, this is going to be new to you, so don't expect to have any success or hit any, but I'll show you how it's done. I'm like, okay. So we'll go out there. I got my side-by-side Browning, and we go to a pile of trash out, you know, with some down timber and some weeds and cover. And sure enough, we get up some birds and boom, I hit one right out of the deal. He shoots 2 or 3 times and he misses. Long story short, I got my limit. I took 3 shots, got 3 birds. He shot, I don't know how many times, and he got no birds. He did not like me. He's passed on now, but he was never my best friend after that. I don't think it was a great way to start our relationship. All right, I'm not going to spend any more time talking about family and food, although I love food. And who asks, do people still eat gravy these days? Of course we eat gravy. I mean, anyway. So, by the way, the phone number, if you want to call, 888-627-6008. This is the Chuck and Julie Show. You have not tuned in inaccurately, but I'm substituting for them. I'm Mark Griffith. Mark S. Griffith. I've tried to limit my exposure to social media lately because it's just, it'll melt your brain. But also been trying to read less, but I can't help myself. I like to read and I remember stuff. So we're going to talk about these things today. We're going to talk about preferred pronouns and how we can push back on the left. We're going to talk about COVID cases and why we're being lied to and manipulated in that regard. We're going to talk about redlining and why it's not a thing in lending. We're going to talk about treatment protocols for COVID. I'm going to talk to you about what you can do for friends or loved ones or yourself if you have been vaccinated and you get COVID, because that's what's going to happen. The vaccinated are driving the COVID mania. They're driving all these mutations, and I'll tell you why. And I'm going to share some websites with you. So here at about 15 minutes after the hour, the good producer down in Texas that runs the board, he's going to put up a long email that I have that lists all the websites that I recommend you go visit, and some other things, some treatment protocols. I don't remember all the details, but let's start off with pronouns. So there's this craze along the left where people want to be called Z or they, or you know, maybe a guy wants to be called her or she. It's insanity. And this is one of the ways we know that the left tries to basically control what we can think, because we think in language. You know, when you think about it, when you think, let's say you're a native English speaker and you go and learn a second language, unless you really, really are immersed into Spanish in Spain or in Mexico, Even though you may speak it fluently, you're going to think in English because that was your native tongue. So when the left perverts or limits our language, they are limiting what we can think. That's not good. So the way you beat the left, short of violence, and I do believe that this episode we are here in is going to end in violence. I don't know how it's going to end up. I don't know how bad it'll be, but there's never been a time in history where the left has gotten the reins of power and said, oh, you won the next election, we'll just give them back to you. They're going to do whatever they can. I guarantee you, in 2022, they're going to double down on COVID. They're going to go with the climate thing, or they're going to come out with another health scare, but they're going to do something to try to pervert our election process. Anyway, back to what I was going to say, the whole pronoun thing. I don't agree that it is polite to go along with someone who says, I'm a male, but I want to identify as a female. I don't believe that's polite, because you're just helping them with their, you're just kind of, what's the word in addiction? You're enabling their mental illness, because it's terrible when someone has got gender dysphoria. Now, the reality is a tiny, tiny fraction of a percent of human beings are born with gender dysphoria. And almost all of them have that feeling from early on age. I mean, as a toddler or post-toddler. And it's almost 100% men who feel like they should have been born a woman. That's down through history. There's no question about it. However, one of the websites I'm going to share with you, Substack, there's a lady that writes on there called, her name is Abigail Schreier, and she is called the Truth Fairy at Substack.com. And she writes about how we have had an explosion of teenage females, usually in the 12 to 15 age category, who are coming out of they're saying they're boys. Okay, this is not science. This is not real. Just think back to your junior high years. Junior high girls are crazy. They're nuts. They're even worse than grown women. Sorry about that, all you ladies out there. So this is an effort by these people to draw attention. Instead of saying, look, calm down, Betty Lou, you're a girl, you'll grow out of this, and helping them adjust. No, we're saying go right in here to surgery and let's cut those healthy breasts off and start taking these hormone blockers. But the way we push back on the left is make fun of them, mock them. So I tell people my preferred pronouns are your majesty or my lord. And if you don't like it, that's what you got to call me. You know, I'm talking about liberals. Obviously, it's a joke on my part. But the only way we beat the left, I recall I got this idea about 5 or 6 years ago at the University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, one of the most liberal campuses on the planet. They sent out an email in July of the academic year, and they said, we want everyone to reply back what your preferred pronouns are. And then we will share those preferred pronouns with staff, with faculty, administrators, and so on. And then everyone's required to address you with your preferred pronouns. Well, a young, intelligent, conservative, homeschooled freshman, he replied back. He says, I would like to be called Your Majesty, Your Honorable Mr. Smith, or something like that. Yeah, they got rid of that policy by Christmas because he had to have full-blown professors calling him Your Majesty, right, or something like that. So we need to use, in good taste, but we have to mock the left. Now, it depends on who you're dealing with, how rude you want to be, and so on. All right, real quickly, I spent 18 years as a mortgage broker. And if you haven't heard the term, redlining is always talked about as how banks and lenders and mortgage companies, they don't want to loan to minorities in the inner city. And so they would accuse the bank of putting a red line around certain neighborhoods that had a high percentage of minority residents. BS. First of all, it's grossly against the law. As an 18 years in the mortgage business, they police discrimination like you would not believe. But they're obsessed with race, anything to do with the government. If you've ever filled out a loan application for a 30-year mortgage, you know. But the way you can tell that it's BS is it's real easy. Just look and see if the default rate, you go to a certain underwriter. They keep these stats all the time. An underwriter has got a default rate. They know if Mr. Smith, the underwriter at ABC Lending, They know that 2% of every loan, 2% of all the loans he's written over the last 20 years that he's underwritten, in other words, approved, 2% have been default. That's high. That's arbitrary number, but 2% default. So what you do is you pull out the white and you pull out the black. And if the black has a lower default rate than the white rate, then you know they're discriminating against blacks, but they're not. The default rate for blacks is higher than whites. That's because they're giving loans to people who don't deserve them, who are minorities. So whenever you hear the term redlining, and they talk about it like it's a just, oh, of course redlining happens. It doesn't happen. All right. Right now, the lie is kind of undone on the left about COVID. For the longest time, we've been told that the unvaccinated are driving the pandemic, that if it just wasn't for all those damn unvaccinated people, this thing would be in our rearview mirror. Well, actually, not really, because we have, what, 65, 70% of the population in some states like Vermont, it's nearly 80%, and like 98% of the population over the age of 70 in Vermont have been vaccinated. Well, guess what state has the most COVID cases right now? Mm-hmm. Vermont. Guess which state has the most hospitalizations? Mm-hmm. Vermont. So actually, the top 20 states that have the highest rate of vaccination rates, there 19 of those 20 are in the top 20 of having COVID cases. And the opposite is true. So the relationship between vaccination rates and whether or not you have high COVID is it's inverted. It's the opposite. It's like the relationship between how much money we spend on education and the results. There is no relationship. Utah spends the least and gets some of the best results. Washington, D.C. and Chicago, they spend, I don't know, $20,000 a kid, and they graduate hardly any kids that can read at grade level. I mean, I've heard that in Baltimore, I read that in Baltimore recently, they don't have any minority kids that are achieving at grade level when they are in eighth grade, ninth grade, 10th grade. None in math and science. There's a few that can read, but a tiny percentage. And of course, to battle this, I'm going off on a tangent. What's the answer? Instead, is it to change the way we approach teaching these kids and instill discipline? The main reason kids can't learn in inner city schools is because they can't expel the bad actors. If you can't expel a bad actor, that bad actor is going to make it hell for the other 30 kids in the class. Okay. And this whole thing about classroom size, please. I grew up in Tulsa, Oklahoma in the 60s. It was the fastest growing city in America. My school had prefabs everywhere. Every class I was in had 35 kids. We did fine. Because you know what? If you acted out, you went down the hall, you got SWATs, you got your parents called, you got the belt when you got home. And if you did it two or three times, they said, sorry, he's suspended for the rest of the semester. Straighten him out. We're not doing that anymore. So I wasn't even on my list. So one of the things that you have to be careful of in reading the news is, it's a very difficult thing to do, but is look for what they're not talking about. I majored in journalism. I have a degree in journalism, never used it. So don't lump me in with the ones today. They're really awful. But if you read a story carefully, look for what they're not talking about. Because manipulating the news by omission of certain facts is the number one way they manipulate the media. Okay, good example. They were starting back, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, they would publish these statistics and they would say, oh, you know, 80% of all the people in the hospital have not been vaccinated, and only 12% have been vaccinated, or whatever the numbers were. But they never listed how many people had natural immunity. People like me who spent a month fighting COVID. I finally just stopped listening to my doctor. I went down to Murdoch's. I bought some ivermectin. Voila, 12 hours later, I'm fine. So I noticed that they would never talk about how many people are in the hospital who had COVID previously. And they're still not talking about it. In fact, when pressed on this, the director of the CDC, Zelensky, or whatever her name is, she said, well, we don't collect that data. You know why they don't collect that data? Because there's no data to collect. If you've had COVID your chances of getting COVID again are nil and none. I mean, is it possible? Sure, anything's possible, but at numbers that are unmeasurable, okay? So the best immunity you can have is to have had COVID and recovered. Here's the way this is going to go down, I believe, in this winter or maybe in the spring. The way it works is when you get a real vaccination, these RNA vaccines, they're not vaccines at all. In fact, mid-August, the CDC quietly went in and changed their definition of vaccine so that it would conform to the three or four that we have now, the Moderna, the AstraZeneca, whatever. And when you normally get a vaccine, you get a dead part of the virus injected into you, and your body creates an immune response against this vaccine, and your white blood cells and your bone marrow, they create a memory to that. So for as long as you live, if you had chicken pox when you were a kid, or you got the virus or measles, not going to get it later on. We won't talk about shingles, hold on a story. But with this vaccine, it's not a real vaccine. And I'm not able to articulate the details, but basically when you get the virus, when you've had COVID and you recover, you now have a nice big moat full of sharks and alligators around your house, your body. And then there's this big wall with razor wire, and it's all electrified. You are protected against any COVID virus. But when you get the vaccine, you're basically putting a deadbolt on the front door. Okay. So if the virus comes back to visit you again, and you've had the vaccine, that virus is going to say, oh, there's not a moat around this guy. There's not a razor wire and electrification. Let's see if I can get in the window. Or let's see if I can get in the garage door, or maybe that back door back there. That's what causes mutations. So when the virus comes to me, it leaves, because what's the first job of every living organism? To stay alive. If the virus works on me very long, it's going to die. So it goes to somebody else. It's going to go to an unvaccinated person or to someone who has the vaccination, but not to someone who's had COVID. When it goes to a vaccinated person, it's going to say, I need to find another way around this person's immunity, partial immunity. And the way viruses work is they get more contagious and less deadly, or they get more deadly and less contagious. When the Delta variant came out, they said, oh, it's more contagious and more deadly. Nope, that's not how it works. Because if it's more contagious and more deadly, it will kill its hosts and go out of business. Virus will be dead. So the virus is constantly trying to find that happy middle ground where it's contagious and makes people sick, but doesn't kill its hosts. If you follow me here. So the reason I'm building up to this is I believe I've ordered a bunch of ivermectin from overseas pharmacies. In the comments over here, I've listed some websites where you can try. I've vetted them as best I think I could. They seem safe. Other people have used them. One of the ways that you can know is there's a great website out there called flccc.net. It redirects you to a site called COVID-19 Critical Care. Look for that in the comments. It lists treatment protocols for if you get COVID, early onset of COVID, how you can treat yourself at home cheaply and completely. It's at the beginning of this thing, I thought that our media and our elites and our government leaders were just confused and incompetent. Not anymore. I believe they're trying to kill us. I believe that this is an active effort in population control. I believe it did come from China, it did come from a lab, but I think it came with the knowledge of many people who are running our elite institutions. No question Fauci was in on this. Because why else would they go out and take therapeutics out of the market? I was stocking up. I'd go down to Murdoch's after I had COVID and was cured by the ivermectin, zinc, and vitamin D and so on. I'd go in and buy a tube or three when I was in Murdoch's. Who doesn't love Murdoch's? Great store. And then I noticed, oh, it's doubled in price. It's tripled in price. And now there's hardly any on the shelf. And then finally, there was a sign that says, we have ivermectin, but you have to prove you own a horse or a pig or a livestock of some type. Can't buy it for human consumption. I was traveling back from Oklahoma here about a month ago, and I stopped in Colby, Kansas. I mean, we're talking livestock, not capital of the world, but a lot of cattle, a lot of hogs. Went into the Tractor Supply, talked to the manager. Hey, where's your ivermectin? He laughed at me. He said, I can't get ivermectin. Haven't had ivermectin for 6 months. I said, what are your ranchers doing? He says, they're using other, you know, methods. I went next door and had lunch at a Mexican restaurant. There was a cattle cup, a rancher couple next to me, and I started chatting them up. And they said, yeah, it's been tough. We've had a hard time deworming some of our livestock. But he said, with a twinkle in their eye, they said, well, we got plenty for ourselves. So if you want to save the lives of yourselves and loved ones, I highly encourage you to check out the websites I've listed here. Some of them are, I'll have to do this. I hope my camera still works. Let's see here, guys. So one of the sites is dropshipmedicine.com. You can get ivermectin there for very, very inexpensive. Another site is alldaychemist.com. So that's dropshipmedicine.com and alldaychemist.com. Those are two overseas. I believe they're both located in India. So here's one thing you got to understand, folks, is when you go to the gas station or the convenience store to get your Cheetos or a pop or cigarettes or whatever, in most of the developing world, we're not supposed to say third world anymore, but most of the tropical third world, so South America, Asia, Africa, you can just say, I'd like to take some ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine home with me and buy it for several cents, just a few cents a pill, because it's ubiquitous. But not in Europe, not in America. Why is that? Because there's a law that says you can't develop a vaccine for a disease for which there's an effective therapeutic. So when they say follow the money, folks, a lot of people, not a lot, but a few people are getting very, very rich, very wealthy. Did you know the last three directors of the CDC, or maybe it's the FDA, the last three directors of the FDA all have cushy seats on the boards of three different vaccine manufacturers? Think that's an accident? No. So, be prepared. By the way, the phone number, 888-627-6008. I would love to take a call from someone who thinks I'm, you know, just loony. I'd love to engage you. I'll be polite, kind of, sort of, I promise. But facts, not fear, is what we operate with. This is the Chuck and Julie Show. By the way, I want to say how thankful I am that they thought for me to host the show, because the last time I hosted, I got a little bit off on God, and I was worried maybe I'd run off a bunch of their listeners, but evidently not. She said that even some of their listeners like me. So Barney, if you're out there, call in 888-627-6008. I'm busy on something, so I apologize. There's about 30 people on the other side of that door that are and about half of them are children. And I can't lock the door. So I'm at my brother-in-law's house. So anyway, let's see here. I can't read the comments.
Mark!
Who is it? Barney? Hello? Okay. Maybe I'm not doing something
Mark,
right.
Can you hear me?
I can. Hey. Speak. Who is it?
So it's Barney, you idiot. Hey. Can you hear me?
Have you ever seen a fish? You ever seen a fish called Wanda? Don't call me. Don't
that,
call me
yeah,
stupid.
With Don Knotts.
No, not
Don. Okay.
Go ahead.
No,
anyway,
that was different. Well, anyway, first off, Julie told me once that I never make them mad. If they'll keep me in the loop, you're good to go, buddy. You can talk about God all you want. I don't think they're gonna care. So you're good.
Are you driving right now? Or are you off?
Yeah, I'm always driving. But the ivermectin, you know, keep in mind when you deworm animals, and I'm not sure the routine, but you use ivermectin a certain time of the year, you use zermectin a certain time. You know, there's like three different warmers that you rotate.
Right. What happened? Barney drives a truck up in Wyoming, I think, from what I understand. And I think he gets spotty cell selection. While we're waiting for Barney to come back, I want to tell you about our website that's been invaluable to me. For me, where you get your news is way more important than almost anything else. You there? You back, Barney?
I'm back. Yeah, okay. I tapped the mute button. I guess I didn't like hearing myself talk. But what I was going to say was, when this happened, you know, we talked about the China lab, and there's no doubt, but the creepers in China are tied to the creepers in our U.S. government. And look at the money that the government has saved, killing all the old people. And I'm not too sure about brown people either, because everybody I know that's Latino, Hispanic, whatever, from Mexico, that got the COVID, it damn near killed them. And some of them it has killed. So you can bet your ass.
So you're onto something. You're onto something. There's a doctor out of Idaho. His name is Ryan Cole, C-O-L-E. If you go on and find him on YouTube, if they haven't banned him, look on Rumble if you can't find him on YouTube. Ryan Cole is a doctor out of Idaho. He gives several talks, and one of the things he talks about is there is a strong, strong correlation between vitamin D levels and how bad COVID hits you. The higher your vitamin D, the lower your symptoms are. So one of the reasons we're seeing higher incidences of severe COVID cases in the northern states is because in the wintertime, we don't get enough vitamin D out of the sun. So that's part of my thing. Part of the treatment protocols for prevention is take at least 100 milligrams of zinc a day, and you want to take at least five. I take 10,000 units of vitamin D a day. Are you taking vitamin D in that the whole nine yards?
I haven't done anything different for 50 years. I just keep plugging away, but I don't get flu shots, and I sure as hell am not going to get this vaccine. I'm not saying I'm super healthy, but I just don't trust them anymore. I almost got it. I was going to take a trip to Ireland, and it was going to be 18 days of quarantine, so I couldn't do it. But after that trip, they just gotten really creepy with making people take this vaccine. So I'm out. I'm not taking it. So,
well, not, you know, happening. One of the things that has come out of this is they've lied so consistently and so outrageously about everything to do with this thing. And they just change their story every week. I mean, it makes you wonder. I never had questioned vaccines when I was younger, but now it makes you wonder, you know, what else are they lying about? This leads to another one of my subject matters that I wanted to talk about. What I'm going to talk about is got a name, and I could not find it in my prep because it's holidays and I had other things going on. But it's the effect for when, let's say, somebody like me, when I was a mortgage broker, would sit down at the computer or open the Denver Post, and they'd read an article about the mortgage industry. And you would read that article, and you would say, that person got it. If I had sat down to write an article and put every fact, 180% of what is true, that's what they just did. You realize that this journalist doesn't know anything about the mortgage business, and that they oftentimes, and this is, so let's say a scientist, a guy who's an epidemiologist, and reads an article and he goes, they couldn't have got that more wrong. Or you read an article about business entrepreneurship, about how to start a business, and you think, where'd they get their, I mean, they just pulled this stuff out of there. Mm? And then, but here's the effect. Here's the funny part, Barney. Most of us will then turn the page and read something about some subject we're not an expert in, we're not real familiar with, and we'll read it like, oh, that's true, right? It never occurs to us to say to ourselves, well, look, if they got this wrong and they got this wrong that I know about these two things, I know, what's the likelihood they're getting everything wrong, that they're lying about it all?
Look at your, is it gain of function where they mess with the virus in the lab and they make it?
They take it.
Okay. So well, let me just say this, as a layperson, as somebody who didn't have a clue, that sounds like to me something really evil and awful. And the fact is that they Wuhan was messing with the Nifta virus or whatever it is, which is 80% mortality rate. These people are evil, man.
They do it under the guise of, well, we want to develop a virus that's really dangerous so we can get a vaccine for it. So if it ever happens to the human race, we can help. We can stop it. Well, guess what? Stop developing it and you won't need a vaccine for it. So,
well,
you got to remember that Bill Gates and all the people he runs with, the rich people, the Al Gores of the world, they've been talking about population control for decades. It goes all the way back to 1970 with that moron, the Population Bomb book, where he predicted that by 1980, you know, tens of millions of people would be starving to death and so on and so forth. When I had my radio show back a few years back, I had a guy on from Hawaii who is a professor at Brigham Young, Hawaii. Yes, Brigham Young has a Hawaii campus. And kind of think of his name, but he basically wrote a very good essay about how every time the world's population grows, its ability to produce grows with it exponentially. So, for instance, every commodity in the world is way, way, way cheaper today than it was 50 years ago. Why is that? There should be less of those commodities. No, it's not how it works, because we're born with a mouth that consumes food and energy and so on, but we're also born with a brain. And the human brain is so amazing. We're able to figure things out. Reminds me of one of my favorite sayings is that, because it's related to this, it's not what humans don't know that gets humans in trouble, because if we don't know something, we can figure it out. But it's all the things that people know that are true that aren't. Most leftists and most people who aren't even leftists, just, you know, if you walk up to them and go, climate change is a thing, right? I mean, we're burning up the planet. They're going to, oh yeah, no question. Not true. We've had climate change for millions of years. And believe me, our footprint is not big enough to affect God's marvelous creation. Let's just get that out there. But there's all sorts of things. My mom lives with me. She lives with me and my wife, and she's 86, and she's got some memory issues, she's got dementia. But I remember growing up, my mom, when I was like 8 or 9, we lived in Oklahoma. We get these violent thunderstorms. She goes, well, you can't take a shower when there's a thunderstorm. I'm like, why? You could get electrocuted. And I just remember thinking, because even that age, 9 or 10, I would read the paper cover to cover in the morning. And I never read the funnies. I'd start with the editorials and then read my way to the front page. And I thought, you know, I would read about that. That would be front page news. That would be on the evening news tonight on Tulsa Channel 8 or whatever, if somebody got fried taking a shower, not to mention the lawsuit that would happen from the builder. So my mom believes lots of things like that. Now, bless her heart, she grew up in the just very poor, abject poverty in the Deep South in the 30s and 40s. So her worldview is warped, to say the least. But we walk around in this world believing things that just, they're not true. Are you gone, Barney? I guess he is. I love Barney.
No, I'm here. I'm here, Mark. Well,
talk to me. What do you got?
Can you hear me, buddy? I'm here.
So here, I want to talk
I was going to say, you know, you'll go blind. Growing up Catholic, you'll go blind. Remember that one. But go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, I didn't grow up Catholic, but I did take a Catholic girl to the girl to the prom. So, all right, here I'm going to do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to read to you guys a website that I've just found immeasurably helpful. It's called Substack.com. Now, Substack.com is where all these writers and content providers go when they get banned by YouTube or they get banned by Twitter or Facebook or whatever, because most of these people, they write at, you know, what's a conservative website? No, PJ Media, that's a good one, or the American Greatness. But in order to get their stuff seen and lots of views and get more clicks, they post it on places like Twitter or YouTube or Facebook or whatever, or Instagram. Well, these places are all run by leftists, and so they ban the good stuff. So I assume many of you watch Tucker Carlson. He's had a guy on there named Alex Berenson. So here's what I want you to do. It's listed in the, it'll be listed at 3:45. They're going to put up my list of websites. But if you go to substack.com and you click on readers and you scroll down, it's the third one down. It says Substack Reader. I think you have to register. You give them your email. And then what happens is all the people you've decided to follow, when they produce something new, a new article, they'll send you an email notifying you, and then you can go read their stuff. So here are a few of the people I recommend you start reading and following on things like COVID and things like the economy. Alex Berenson, Berenson. The name of his blog is called The Unreported Truths. Jordan Schladel, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he has something called The Dossier. So you go to substack.com and then type in these writers in the search bar and you'll get their content. There's another guy named C.J. Hopkins. It's very good. Doomberg, D-O-O-M-B-E-R-G. Now, some of these people don't post but like once or twice a week or even less. Some of them post a lot and it's real short. So you can choose what to, you know, you choose yours. Another one is this Abigail Schreier. She writes on the primarily from the female teenage girl perspective on just this evil that's happening with transgenderism. And one I just found just recently that's been fantastic is one called Bad Catitude. So like bad attitude, but it's catitude. And it's also richly got lots of information, but just laugh your rear end off funny. So that's at substack.com. And then the other place you want to go to look for treatment protocols for COVID is www.f as in Frank, L as in Larry, CCC, like Charlie, FLCCC.net. It's going to redirect you to a website and click on protocols at the top of the page. Now, this is a very busy website. If you know what I mean by busy, it's just chock full of information. It's easy to get lost. But look for protocols and then scroll down and they'll have three things listed there. They'll have iMask Plus, iRecover Plus, and one other one. But it basically tells you how much of each medicine to take. Also, with my posting that the producer's posting there at 45, so here in about two more minutes, is a list of websites where you can go out without a prescription in many cases and buy these meds. Now, if you want to buy meds in the U.S. or Canada, they're super expensive, and usually you have to have a doctor's prescription. But if you go to the websites I've listed, which is alldaychemist.com. And then one I just found out about that's even better than alldaychemist.com is, let's see here. It's dropshipmedicine.com. And I did check. These are not websites that just sprung up as a result of COVID. These are international pharmacies that have been in operation for decades. So I feel fairly confident that I can share this. Anything else before I let you go, Barney?
No, man, we're good. It's good to hear you and good to see you, buddy.
Well, it's good to be back on the air. So
take care. Chuck, right. You ain't going nowhere. Chuck and Julie will keep you around. Trust me.
All right. Appreciate it. All right.
See you, bye.
So our number, if you want to call in, 888-627-6008. I would love to have your comments. I'd love to be able to read the comments after the show. I got to figure out how to do that. So out here in Western Nebraska, they're going through what amounts to a drought. It is so dry. Even where I live in Parker, it's so dry. My ground is like flour. It's just awful. But we did a little pheasant hunting on our way out here this morning and my dogs couldn't even, you know, get a smell because there's no moisture in the grass to smell the pheasants. Let's see here. I thought I had plenty to talk about. I'm going to real quickly go over the treatment protocols for one other thing about, I talked a little bit about it earlier. I'm sorry, I'm disjointed, but I think there's going to come a time where this virus is going to mutate to something that's very, very dangerous. And it's going to attack the vaccinated more than the unvaccinated, and more, obviously more than the people who've got natural immunity because it can't bother them. Now, that sounds obviously counterintuitive, but as I used to say when I had my radio show, most of life is counterintuitive. If you read the Bible, God deals in counterintuitive a lot. You know, for instance, here's one that some parents never learn. And that is, you spoil a child, you give them everything they could ever want, that child's going to grow up to resent you. Why is that? It's because they haven't been taught to be grateful. So we see it now with people in, who are the most resentful people in our country? They're the people on the dole. They're the people who are receiving welfare benefits. And it's just a biblical truth. Counterintuitive, of course, but it's true. So the way this vaccine, it's not a vaccine, works is it affects our ability to respond to the virus. So right now, the vast majority of people, now you're going to have a hard time finding this anywhere in the news, including Fox News. They're not an honest news outlet. Tucker worked on some subject, but after that, I don't trust Fox News, okay? I don't really know anybody in the media, like TV media, that you can really trust. For one thing, when you sit there and think about it, all they're doing is reading something that somebody else wrote for them. I mean, Neil Cavuto is a perfect example. The guy's on TV 3 hours a day. Maybe it's four. He's gone 2 hours on the Fox Business Channel and then 1 hour in the afternoon on Fox News. He doesn't know anything. All he does is have guests on, ask some questions, and then read stuff his producers have. And believe me, those producers are like 25 right out of journalism school or media, you know, college. They don't have any life experience. If I told them, go to PJ Media and read, they wouldn't know what to do. Let me give you a couple of my favorite websites. We're going to run out of time here in a few minutes. PJMedia.com got some great writers. Stacey Lennox has done great work on the whole COVID thing. Substack.com is just a wonderful place. Alex Berenson, Bad Catitude, Jordan Slatel. It's called The Dossier. Another website is AM Greatness. AM Greatness, it's American Greatness, amgreatness.com. If you want to really learn about the horrors that are happening to the January 6th insurrectionist, read Julie Kelly at AM Greatness. You can also see all of Victor Davis Hanson's stuff on that website. I had the pleasure of having VDH on my show when I had a radio show on KLZ back in, a couple of years back. Another site that I probably go to more than any other is called instapundit.com. So Pundit with Insta on the front of it. So instapundit.com. It's a division of PJ Media. And it's run by a law guy, a law professor from the University of Tennessee named Glenn Harlan Reynolds. He writes a weekly column for the New York Post. And he just links to articles. And some of them are funny. Some of them are outrageous. Some of them are to a New York Times piece. And you read it and go, what are these people thinking? But most of it is stuff to just eclectic conservative content. And he usually posts, he always posts the title of the article. And then if the title's not explanated, he'll pull out a paragraph so that you get an idea. Do I want to read this or do I want to move on? Because it may be something you're not interested in. For instance, he's got one guy that posts, he loves space stuff, posts about Blue Origin and the NASA program. I got no interest in that stuff because that's all just a desire for people on Earth to try to prove there's not a God by going into space and finding, who knows, got no interest. I mean, maybe with space nuclear weapons and stuff like that. But it gives you, you go to instapundit.com and I scroll down because you got to scroll backwards. And I just look and see if there's any information. And in 15 or 20 minutes, because I read fast, I can read 5 to 10 articles on a whole host of any, and I can be informed and move on with my day. Go read my Bible or read a book. Trying to think what else. Real quickly about cryptocurrency. I'm a believer in cryptocurrency. I think not like in God, but I think it's here to stay. I think Bitcoin's for real. I think all the other ones are questionable. I think they're speculative at best, but I think Bitcoin and maybe one or two others like Ethereum have staying power. I'd highly recommend, I know what I was going to talk about. You've got to get ready for the chaos. I can't remember. I left this page out. They're sowing this chaos on purpose. All you, the inflation you see trying to drive gas to $8 a gallon, we're going to have rolling blackouts. Folks, this is not incompetence. Now, it used to be that when you had to choose between evil and incompetence, you chose incompetence. It's some kind of a law. I can't remember what it is. But that's no longer the case. These people are actively trying to sow chaos. Example, they charged Kyle Rittenhouse with murder when it was obvious anybody that watched those videos, he was running for his life and he only shot those guys when they tried to attack him and take his gun. And the people in January 6th, or better example is the Waukesha guy, gave him a $500 bail for a bunch of violent crimes. He ran over somebody with his car after trying to choke her. $500 bail. And yet there are people, there's over 600 people in DC prisons who were there for 10 months, 12 months with no bail. And they didn't commit any violent crimes. All they did was parade through the Capitol. In fact, that's what most of them are getting charged with, parading. We're living in a world where evil and good have been inverted. You need to prepare yourself. I would recommend that you get a generator. If you live in a blue area, sell now before they ruin your property values. You want to tell me that you could, your house in Kenosha, some of these places that were riots this summer are going to be worth as much as they were before? No. So I would highly recommend get out now, get to a red area where you can defend yourself. I would get as rural as you can and make sure you have more than a week's worth of food, because I'm always shocked when I go to the store when there's going to be a snowstorm in Denver and it's like the Broncos won or in the Super Bowl. I mean, I just think, don't these people have any freezers at home? I've got two big freezers with a year's worth of meat. So I'm working with an electrician right now to get a generator for my house so I back up all my systems, can run my well, I'll have water. But even I want to leave Parker because I think Parker's going to go crazy. I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. I'm not sure what the protocol is for logging off, I know what I was going to say. I recommend that you begin regarding chaos and the things that are coming down the pike. I talked early in the show. I think this is going to end in violence at some point. So be prepared for it and begin to make alliances with people you can trust. Do it now before the bad times hit. Because when the bad times hit, what are we watching? The FBI is infiltrating good people and trying to get them to instigate them to do bad things. All of our institutions have been corrupted. So join, form friendships with people you can trust, family. That's about it. I hope you enjoyed the show. I know I rambled and I was a little disjointed, but I'm out of practice. I haven't talked on the podcast for about a year. That's it. I think I'm going to log off. I want everyone to have a great rest of your Thanksgiving weekend. I think they're fixing to start playing the Turkey Bowl, all the children out in the big yard here we are in Nebraska. So I'm going to go out and watch that. I will not participate because I'm old and fat. So that's it. Thank you to Chuck and Julie, and you guys have a great weekend.